Thank you, Matt and Rebecca. What a blessing. The music has been just delightful this week, and we want to say to the whole church and Pastor and Lisa, we appreciate so much all their hospitality. You are a well-taught church, and you have a rich history, and that's a fantastic thing, and I know you realize that, and I am thankful to be here. And we appreciate all that you've done for us. Thank you for the gracious love offerings. I opened both of them last night. And of course, all that money goes to the mission. I'm just here raising money for the general fund. Brother Jim's on our board. And we appreciate him so much, as I said recently. He's really been a great encourager and a great help to us in ministry. This is transition for us. We've been doing this a little over a year. It's different. But we're enjoying it. I did not realize that you could spend thousands and thousands of miles on the road the way you do. But that's all part of it, and we're grateful to do it. All right, take your Bibles and find, if you would, please, 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. I know that you're praying about what to give to missions this year through your faith promise card. Perhaps some of you have filled it out already. Perhaps some of you are still weighing out exactly where you're going to be. This message, I trust, will be a help to you as we look at Hannah's faith promise to the Lord. Now, we know that she vowed a vow to give her son back to the Lord. And we know that we're not here to give our children back to the Lord the way Hannah did to the temple. Now, if our children get called to the mission field, we should not stand in their way. We should let them go. I've watched parents as their children got called, and they were excited until they realized they were going to Africa. And then all of a sudden, they weren't as happy about that as what they thought they would be. But I do encourage parents, let your children go, let your grandchildren go, let God use them. A faith promise is a scriptural way of giving to missions because it's based on several principles, both in the Old and New Testaments. The faith promise system, and a couple of you have already talked to me about your faith promise as you was praying about it and asked for some advice. But last year, I was in Milwaukee at our board meeting, our Baptist World Mission board meeting, and it was at Woodcrest Baptist Church. Pastor Poorman, good friend of mine, pastors that church, and he had people in charge of driving the board members back and forth to the airport. And so my ride back to the airport was with a man by his name was Jim Conorier. He gave me permission to share this. He's a retired engineer, a member there at Woodcrest, and he and his wife have two boys, and prepared for their college future by using the student loan calculation schedule. I've seen those, perhaps you have. It'll scare you to death, for sure. And they began saving for their son's education, and they did that for several years. And then at one of the Faith Promise Missions conferences, they both agreed that they would stop saving that money and that they would give that money to Faith Promise Missions in their church. It was a large sum, he said, and I believe him. It was a large sum. He didn't have to tell me. But you're saving for two boys' education. It can be big. But he says, we had no regrets, Pastor Arrowood. He said, one son graduated from Maranatha Baptist College, and he's now in ministry. And the second son graduated from Laterno School of Engineering. They both have wonderful families, and they're serving the Lord in their church. And he says, my wife and I look back, and we are so thankful that we obeyed what the Lord told us to do. He says, had I not obeyed that, I believe I would have had a harder time dealing with my son's education. Check out Laterno School of Engineering. Check it out. It's no easy, inexpensive place. And so here's a man who told me his story on the way to, taking me back to the airport. And I, as a mission speaker now, those kinds of stories are very rare. And he volunteered that story. He just volunteered it out of his heart as he was driving. So when we examine our text carefully, here's what I want us to do. I want us to take the practical applications of Hannah's heartbeats, her mindsets, what she was thinking, why she was going to do it, what she did. And I want us to apply it and bring it into the 21st century right here today as you make up your mind and as you continue to give to Faith Promise Missions. So let's begin our reading in verse 9, please. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. And she went in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow. In other words, she made a promise to God. And that promise was a faith promise. And said, her prayer is some 55 English words long, and it came from her heart. O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon the affliction of thine handmaid, underscore affliction, underscore handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, underscore handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid, underscore handmaid. Very important. Three times it's mentioned in the text. The Holy Spirit wouldn't mention it three times if it wasn't very, 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 very important. But if thou wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will, here's her promise, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. That is a tremendous text. Here is a barren woman who did not go to the temple but about three times a year. They lived 35 miles from the temple. And now she's here. She knows that Samuel is going to judge or help her. Judge is not sitting in judgment of her, but he was going to be able to discern. He's going to be able to give her some bottom line counsel. And here she poured out her heart, not just for a child. She wanted a man child. She was specific in her prayer request. And she was willing, as a barren mother, willing to give that child back and make a holy proclamation that went down in holy writ for us to look at and for us to understand. She was serious, and she meant every word. Now let's lay a little bit of background about the book of Samuel. Samuel did not write all of it. He wrote a lot of it, but there were events that takes place in 1 Samuel long after Samuel died. But there are two human fingerprints that's upon it, and that'd be Nathan and Gad. And this narrative takes place at the end of 350 years of the time of the judges, and Samuel was the last of the judges. And when you read the last three chapters of the book of Judges, I call it the sewer pipe of the Bible. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And the principal lesson in this book of history that is before us has to do with the effects of sin, God's righteousness in relationship to people and their leadership. Israel had sunk to her lowest ebb spiritually. The priesthood was corrupt. In chapter 2, the Ark of the Covenant was not at the tabernacle. In chapter 4, the practice of idolatry was rampant. in chapter 7. Most of the judges would become dishonest by the time you get to chapter 8. And here's what the Bible says. How are the mighty fallen? And folks, can I just interject something here that's so critical? We live in a day and time that I am frightful for God's people. As we hear and watch some men very close to me as they fall into sin. Just because we're at Emmanuel Baptist and we have a strong church doesn't make us exempt from sin. And we must keep that in mind. Now, there are four characters, main characters, in our text. Elkanah, a godly man. Elkanah is Hannah's husband. They live in Shiloh. They live in Ramah, but they go to Shiloh three times a year. All Jewish men were required to go to the temple three times a year and appear before the Lord and give a thanksgiving offering. One was for Passover, to remember and celebrate what God did in bringing them out of Egypt. The second was the Feast of Weeks, which was commemorating the Torah when it was brought to Moses on Mount Sinai. And then there's the Feast of the Tabernacles, which caused the Jews to remember and recall the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And so he was a spiritual man. Now, nothing else is said about him in Holy Writ, only what we read in this passage of Scripture. He was not only a spiritual man, but he was a strong father. He always took his family. And for generations, Elkanah's family traveled those 35 miles to Shiloh to worship at the temple. Now keep in mind that David had not been born yet, so Solomon's temple had not been built. And Elkanah was thirdly a sensitive husband. Now, this is a subject for another time, and we've dealt with this a little bit, but he had more than one wife. And his first wife, she was able to have children. His second wife, Hannah, was barren. Both of them, wives and Elkanah, were commoners. And his first wife began to bear children, and it bore down on Hannah's heart. By the way, her name means grace or favor. And because she was barren, she was pleading with God to give her a child, a man child, someone that she would give back to him, that is the Lord. Hannah came to the temple in bitterness of soul, we read, and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. The word bitterness there is the Hebrew word mara. The reason I mention that to you is because the waters of Marah was very, very bitter. And here it is used to demonstrate the condition of Hannah's heart. She wasn't mad at God. She was sorrowful. She was in bitterness of soul. She wasn't angry. She was broken. She was disappointed. But not without some measure of hope, because she was there praying. And the fact that she was there praying, begging God for a son, is proof that her disappointment had not drove her away from the Lord. No wonder the psalmist encouraged us, trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. And that's what she was doing. She was pouring out her heart before her God. The simple proposition for this thought this morning is that when we refuse to allow our personal tragedy to color our perspective, we will never lose sight of hope. Do not let circumstances control you. The Spirit of God must control us. And here's a woman who was, yes, had bitterness of soul, but she was not bitter in her spirit. No, instead, she was praying. She had faith, she was believing, and Hannah refused to stop making her vow or her promise as she prayed until God answered. She did the right thing. She prayed. She came to the right place, the temple, and she poured out her heart before God. God heard and answered her prayer. And she named her son Samuel, which means God hears. And Hannah kept her faith promise. When Samuel was weaned, what did she do? She carried him back to Shiloh, and she gave him to the priest. She gave him to Eli. Look at chapter 1, verse 27. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he, that is Samuel, worship the Lord there. She did not know at that time whether or not she would ever bear another child. Now think about that just for a moment. Here is a woman who prayed and begged God for a child. And God gives her a child. And in the promise, I will give him back to you. Without a blink of an eye, not knowing she would ever bear another child. Matter of fact, she probably had this thought in mind, that I probably will not have another child after all of this. But it did not matter. She was thankful for what God had given her, and she gave that child back to the Lord, realizing that she would probably never bear another child, never hold another baby, never pick out another baby name. Think about that just for a moment. What a woman of integrity. What a woman of great character. Her devotion as a mother is incredible. Do you know that the single most motherly act of love is seen in Hannah? Every year, she took her hands and she made a coat for her boy. And every year, she took that coat to the temple and gave it to him. It's one of the dearest pictures of motherhood that we have in the Bible. So here are commoners, and God is using commoners. Aren't you glad that we're all just a bunch of crooked sticks that God can use to draw a straight line with if we just yield to him? Aren't you glad that he picks out the commoners? It's the fisherman. It's the tax collector. It's the hard worker. And then there's Eli. He's the third character in our story. He sat at the gate and judged the people, helping them with their spiritual needs. Eli was a fifth generation priest. He was the fourth son of Aaron, the brother of Moses. Eli served both as high priest and judge for 40 years. He was not perfect. He lost his boys, Hophni and Phinehas, so sad. And while sincere and devout in his commitment to the Lord, and his gentle and humble character, Eli lacked the firmness of a good leader. And that weakness often was his hardest event to overcome. And those two worthless sons of his are pictures of that. And Eli would die with a broken heart over the sins of his sons. Change was in the wind, for the people's cry became, "Make us a king over us." Eli had the pressure of all of that. And then little Samuel, finally born, finally taken, weaned from his mother back to the temple, some 1,120 years before our Lord was born. And God was going to use Samuel in an unbelievable way. Now here's the main thrust of the message this morning. When Hannah gave Samuel back to the Lord, she gives to us several principles that it would be good for us to note. It will help us in our giving to the Lord. First of all, would you see with me that she gave humbly? Do you remember I emphasized one word when we read that first verse? She was a handmaid. She was a humble commoner. That's all she was. Nothing special about her. Broken, that one wife could bear children to her husband and she could not. And three times She begs the Lord as a handmaid. So she came humbly. When we come to give, we should come humbly and say, God, what is mine belongs to you anyway. You lead in this gift that I'm going to give. She uses handmaid two more times with Samuel. She was truly a humble lady, and she gave her son humbly to the Lord. But she also gave in verse 9, she gave intelligently. So Hannah rose up after she had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. This is verse 9. Now Eli the priest sat upon the seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. Just her presence in the temple praying for a man child proves that Hannah knew that everything she and Elkanah possessed came from the Lord and belonged to the Lord. See, that is what we have to get our minds around. It's not ours anyway. We're to be stewards. And she did not hold on to Samuel after making her promise. No, she had humility and she had some intelligence about her. A commoner, yes, but a clear thinker, absolutely. But would you see with me, thirdly, in verse 11, that she gave purposefully. But will give unto thine handmaid a man-child. Then will I give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. Now here's the thought I want to put in your mental meal. Hannah had something in her heart that she wanted God to put in her hands so she could give it back to the Lord. And that was on her mind. God, it's in my heart. Would you just place a child in my hands? Lord, if I could just hold him in my hands, that child will be yours. I'll give him back. So first of all, God placed in her heart a desire. And she says, God, if you'll put him in my hands, I'll give it back. What does that say to us? It says that God's good to us, isn't he? I'm going to say that again. God is good to us, isn't he? We come to a conference like this with clenched fists, we're in trouble. No, you let God open your heart, and when he does, guess what? You'll open your tight-fisted hands. And you'll give sacrificially. So she gave humbly, she gave intelligently, she gave purposefully. She will put us to shame. She's already making us nervous, isn't she? We're not finished yet. She gave prayerfully. She made it a serious matter of prayer. And it came to pass, verse 12 says, as she continued praying before the Lord with great importunity and fervency, she prayed. God, listen, God is moved when we constantly continue praying about something serious. And he saw her heart. And it wasn't minced words. He knew he could put Samuel in her hands and she would obey him. So she gave prayerfully, purposefully, intelligently, humbly. But in verses 15 and 16, we find that she gave brokenly. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink. You know, he accused her, first of all, of being drunk. And have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial. She says, I'm not a daughter of the devil. I came here seriously to worship. I've been in prayer. I have bitterness of soul. And notice what she says in verse 16. For out of the abundance of my complaint. You know what that word complaint means? That's not the word for murmur in the Old Testament. You know what it means? It means to Babylon and Babylon and Babylon and Babylon and Babylon and Babylon. In other words, she kept on praying and she kept on asking and she kept on. And her complaint was a good complaint to the Lord. It wasn't a negative complaint. And he saw her sincerity and answered accordingly. And though she poured out her heart in grief before the Lord, she was doing so in order to gladly give her son back to him for God to use in any way he saw fit. She wanted a man child to give back to the Lord. You know why? Because she saw the crime. She saw the corruption in her country. She had a desire for right to be done. She was willing to give her son back to the Lord so he could do something about the condition, the spiritual condition of the country. You see, it wasn't about her trying to outdo the first wife. It wasn't about her keeping up. It was about the real heart of the issue. And see, when we are broken over the real issue, this song that we sang, this week, these songs that we sang, and this song that we heard just before I preached, those cannot just be words coming off our mouths, in our lips. They have to be real in our heart. We have to be broken that a world is in darkness. We have to be broken over that. So she gave humbly, she gave intelligently, purposefully, prayerfully, and brokenly. But this is where I want to spend just a little drop of time. She brought with her all the sacrifices when one would make a vow and a promise at the temple. You have to understand Hebrew culture. In other words, she gave, are you ready for it? Sacrificially. She had to bring certain sacrifices. For instance, she had to bring a bullock. She had to bring flour. Bullock for a burnt offering, flour for a meat offering. She had to bring wine. Wine for the drink offering. If you're going to pray and ask God for a specific request, you're going to make a vow, then you had to bring those sacrifices. And those were the three that was required. But you see, she was so broken over her country. She was so determined to have a man child for the purpose of God's will to be meted out in a critical time of Israel's history. She had a huge picture here. She wasn't looking through a tunnel. She saw the bigger picture. And she said, I'll bring all these offerings. And when God answers my prayer, I'll bring another offering. I'll bring Samuel. And I'll give him. Now there were certain amounts that had to be brought. Now I want you to see this. The point is, she gave sacrificially. They were commoners. They were not wealthy, well-to-do, rich people. They were commoners. Now look at verse 24 and follow it closely with me, if you would, please. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks. Only one was required. Three bullocks and one ephah of flour and one bottle of wine, and brought him, that is Samuel, unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. She brought these offerings. She brought the bullocks for the burnt offering. Only one bullock was required, according to Numbers chapter 15, verse 8. When you made a vow or a promise, you bring one bullock. She wanted to be sure. She wanted God to see her sincerity, and she was willing to sacrifice above what was required. To give above what was required. Did they have three bullocks? They did. Was that what she planned to do? Yes. The idea is that she went above and gave more than was required. Oh, we gripe so much, don't we, when the preacher asks for money. When mission conferences come around, we cringe. We have to rearrange our budget. But we're the first ones quick to say God is good. Oh, may we not be hypocrites when we say that. May we be true blue when we say it, and when God puts his finger on our pocketbooks and we loosen our tightened fist, it might be that he wants us to give more than what's even expected. And then there's the meat offering. 3/10 deals of a flour mingled with a half a hin of oil. The meat offering was for loaves of bread and cakes to be baked. Hannah brought an ephah. She brought 3/4 of a bushel of flour. Not just enough to make the cakes. She brought more. She gave. The point is, every word of God is given for us to understand. And when we look at what she brought along with her son, we see that she went way beyond the call of duty. And then the wine, the drink offering. A half a hin of wine was about 62 ounces, a half a gallon. She brought more. And then let me tell you one more thing she brought. She brought the bullock, she brought the flour, and she brought the wine. And she gave it to the Lord. More than what she should have. But I wonder what God thought that day when she walked into the temple and that little boy was by her side. And she said, Lord, I also bought the living sacrifice. Whether I ever have another child or not, it doesn't matter. I give you this child. You know what young means in the Hebrew? It means small. So whatever you give, whether it be small or large, think about that just for a moment. A small boy that would be used in a mighty way. Every gift is important in this church for you to have the faith promise God wants you to have in the next few weeks. No wonder we sing the song Little as Much when God is in it. In the harvest field now ripened, there's a work for all to do. Hark, the master's voice is calling to the harvest, calling you. Little as much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it. If you pray, go and give in Jesus' name. I changed those words a little bit because that's what they should be. She gave humbly, intelligently, purposefully, prayerfully, brokenly, sacrificially. But would you see verse 28 with me? She gave selflessly. Therefore, I have lent, which literally means made him over to. I just made him over to the Lord. Just gave him my little boy everything. And Hannah was willing to give up her firstborn. She gave selflessly. And then see with me that she also gave wisely because she had a right view of God. Hannah knew that God gave her Samuel. And she knew what God gave her, God could take it away. See, we don't think like that, do we? Hannah knew that God who gives can also keep on giving. I'm here to report to you, if you do not know this, that if you keep reading into the second chapter, you'll read these words. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters. She understood. Sometimes, if we're not careful, our stinginess can get us into trouble, and we lose far more because we kept than what God wanted to give us if we would have only given to Him. He gave His only Son. Would you stand with me, please? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're here this morning and you do not know Christ as Savior, oh, I beg you, you'll never understand the concept of giving. You'll never understand what sacrifice is. You just can't fathom it. You don't have the heart for it. You don't have the Spirit of God to teach you. But I would beg you, as a preacher of the gospel, that Christ went to the cross and took your sins in His own body and bore them on the tree, made a way for you to have a full pardon of your sin, so that one day when you die, you will not have to go to hell, you can go to heaven. And if you're here and you're not saved, I beg you to come. We'll take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure that Jesus Christ died for sinners, and He will save you from your sins. He'll save you from hell, and He'll give you purpose in life, and you can get your prayers answered like Hannah did. And then if you're here and you've been in debate in your soul about what to give, may these simple principles help you from the life of Hannah. May you come up with the right amount. Don't fight it. Let God lead. And He can make what He gives you and the remainder go much further than you ever think. Because we just can't outgive Him. He loves us too much to let us go. Speak to hearts, Lord, we pray. As the pianist begins to play softly the invitation hymn, and God is speaking, would you be willing to say yes to Him for salvation if you're not saved? Will you be willing to say yes in your spirit that, God, I'm convinced that this year is going to be a special year in missions giving in my own heart. I want to use Hannah's example to formulate my faith promise.